So before we get started, can I get a show of hands for those of you who have used Xamarin before? Great stuff. And for the rest of you, are you all C-sharp developers? Awesome. And are you all using Visual Studio? Who here is using Xamarin Studio? Who here has heard of Xamarin Studio? Okay, cool. So for those of you who don't know, Xamarin Studio is our own IDE. Given that I'm at a Microsoft conference, and we'll just hide that logo for the moment, I'll be using Visual Studio today, but everything you see me do today in Visual Studio, you can do in Xamarin Studio. So to give you a little bit of information about myself, I live in Cardiff, Wales. It's in the UK. I live down in the Bay. It's a lovely area. And before I worked for Xamarin, I was a cross-platform developer for a lighting control company. So we developed control systems. They're embedded, and we built these using Qt, or Qt framework. So it was all C++. And we controlled installations such as the London Eye. And the way you would interact with these lighting controllers was the variety of input methods. You had RS-232, RS-485, MIDI. It even had a RESTful API, as well as a built-in web server. And this worked great for connecting with lots of different devices in order to trigger the effects. But when mobile started to take off, we had lots of customers asking us for mobile applications. So they were saying, I want to be able to control the London Eye from my iPhone, because that's a perfectly reasonable request. So we said, that's not a problem. We can make this happen. And cross-platform was a strategic decision within the business. It's why we had chosen Qt. And so we needed to find a cross-platform solution. And my manager at the time was pushing for me to use web technologies and host these apps on the built-in web server of the device. So I went through them all. I used Centure Touch, JQ Touch, which I think was then bought by Centure, and I landed on jQuery Mobile. And here is actually a jQuery Mobile app that I wrote for the MGM Grand Macau, so it's their casino. You select the table, and you select the color of the light that you want. And I had an issue with developing these jQuery Mobile applications, because first of all, I hate JavaScript. Thank you. It's not a bold statement to make at a conference like this. So I hate writing JavaScript. I hate working in Sublime Text. And I'm not a fan of CSS or HTML either. And the quality of the apps that we were shipping for the price we were charging, it wasn't great. And the feedback we were getting from the users, it was never that it didn't look right, because it looks reasonable, but it didn't feel right to them. And so one Friday, I went home, and I was thinking about the prospect of going back to work on Monday and having to sit in Sublime Text for another day and write some more JavaScript, and more HTML, and try and debug the madness in Chrome. And I just wasn't looking forward to this prospect. So I had two options. One was to write my letter of resignation, and the second was to find an alternative. And so I thought, I'll find an alternative. So I started Googling, and I had some criteria. I wanted a productive environment, so I wanted to get back into Visual Studio. So I've been using for years. I knew all the shortcuts. I was a master at it. Sublime Text, not so much. I needed to be able to share the code. I couldn't go to my boss with an Objective-C app and say, hey, I've written this natively, how awesome is this? Because he'll just say, well, it's not cross-platform. We're not getting this option. And it needs to be performant. So with the jQuery Mobile, to give you an example, we'd have two views, and I'll go from view A to view B, and I'd segue between the two. And if I'd launched the app from the Springboard on the iPad, for example, it would flash through white as it did that transition. So it's just hideous. So it needed to be highly performant. So that's my criteria. And there I am, Googling away. And I find Xamarin. And I found some of the companies that were using Xamarin, and I was blown away. So there's a few names on there you should recognize. I think we've all heard of Microsoft. Most of you should have heard of GitHub and RDO and some huge, huge businesses out there that are using Xamarin. So I thought, this is worth a punt. I'll definitely give this a try. And so I pulled out my credit card, and I bought a pizza, because no decent programming project starts without a pizza. And once the pizza arrived, I pulled out my credit card again and I bought a copy of Xamarin iOS. And over the weekend, I hacked together a prototype of the app that was faster, less buggy, and more importantly, it was native. And so on the Monday morning, I went into work. I didn't have a letter of resignation, but I had an app. And I showed my manager and he was blown away. And I was top boy for an entire week. And then I handed in my resignation and started work for Xamarin. And so we all know that C# is the best language for Windows development. It's modern, you've got a fantastic community, and there's thousands of libraries built by vastly more intelligent people than us. Well, with C# and Xamarin, it makes C# the best language for mobile development. So you get native code generation, you have 100% API coverage, and you can share all of your, 75% of your code. And I was blown away by this prospect. I thought it was magic. I was like, how on earth is my C# code running on iPhone and Android? It didn't make sense to me. And since joining Xamarin, they've explained the magic to me, and it really isn't magic. They looked at the approach that Microsoft took with the platform invocation. So they had the Win32 API, which is a C-bound API. So they invented platform invocation in order to solve this problem with .NET. And we've basically copied that approach, but to some new platforms. So what we're doing isn't unique to Xamarin. Microsoft have been doing it for years. We've just added some more platforms to the ecosystem. So let's have a look at how you might be architecting your mobile apps today. There are a few approaches. We call this one the siloed approach. I personally call this one the insane approach. Who's developing this way? You're developing it in Objective-C, Java, and yeah, here we go. So you should stop doing that, and hopefully today you'll realize why. And I can see how you get into this kind of situation. Your boss may come to you and say, I want an iOS app. So you go out and you hire some Objective-C developers, you put them in a room, and they develop a highly performant native app, and everyone loves it. You get it in the App Store, you're getting 5-star reviews. Huge success. And your manager will come back and he will say to the Objective-C developers, he'll go, you're mobile developers, we want an Android version. And they go, woof. We're Objective-C developers, we don't write Java. Okay, well, we'll hire some more. So you go out and you hire 10 more developers and you put them in a separate room so that they don't argue. And they sit down and you give them the iOS version of the app and you say, just rewrite this for Android. So they sit there and they churn out some Java. And by the end of it, again, you've got a highly performant app, native. Get it on the App Store, you're getting great reviews. So your manager comes back and he goes into the Java room and he says, guys, the Android version's a huge success. We want to do Windows Phone. And they go, whew. And he says, well, come on, Java and C# are pretty much the same. Just uppercase a few things and you're sorted. And they say, no. You're going to have to get some C# developers. So you go out and you hire some C# developers, and now you've got 30 people effectively writing one app. So you're reinventing the wheel 3 times, and you're having to track bugs across 3 different code bases. So it's just an insane approach. It's very costly, and it's very timely. And to give you an example of a company that was doing this, Ardeo. Who's heard of Ardeo? So a few of you. Who's heard of Spotify? There we go. So Ardeo is just like Spotify, but better. So they had Objective-C developers writing an awesome iOS app, and they had Java developers writing a fantastic Android app. And Microsoft announced Windows Phone was going to be released, and they realized that they wanted to target this platform. So they went out and they hired another set of developers to go down and write some C# for them. But they set them a challenge. They said, we want the UI to be very decoupled from the back end. So we want to be able to share this C# code that you write. And it took a little longer on the Windows Phone version because of this requirement. But they managed it. And they shipped the app to the Windows Phone. It was a huge success. And then they set themselves a challenge, 6 weeks, to get that shared code running on iOS. So they kept all their existing views. They just replaced all of that Objective-C with C#. And after 6 weeks, they got it in the App Store, and their customers didn't notice anything different. And they did this again with Android 6 weeks later. They've got rid of all the Java, and they're now pure C#. And they're now sharing over 50,000 lines of code between all three platforms. So now when they get a bug, they fix it in one code base and they get it for free across every single mobile platform, which is awesome. And this is a great quote by Matt Crocker. I'll let you read this whilst I drink my drink. You could all look at me when you're done reading it, because otherwise I've no idea when you're finished. Okay, I'm going to assume you're all finished. If you've got any slow readers, I can read it to you later. So there's this other approach, which is the holy grail of software. You write it once, you run it anywhere. And this is a jQuery approach. Who uses this approach? Okay, so this is the approach I recommend if you hate your customers. So what you end up with here is a normally quite a slow app that doesn't, as I say, when I wrote these jQuery mobile apps, it wasn't customers saying that it doesn't look right. They were saying it doesn't feel right. So my biggest issue with this approach is actually that it's the lowest common denominator. You're not programming against the API, you're programming against their API. So you don't get access to every single feature of the platform that you're targeting. So it doesn't allow you to create wonderful experiences for your users. So I'm not a fan of this approach. I did it for 2 years before joining Xamarin. I much prefer the Xamarin approach. And the Xamarin approach is unique. So we suggest that you share your backend. So anything that's touching the base class library, you'll be able to share across all of the platforms. And then you would re-implement your user interface in C# or using the native tools. So you can use our storyboard designer or our Android designer. And you share vast amounts of code across all of the platforms. And so what you get by the end of it is you're sharing 75% of your code, and that's what we expect this to be, about 75%. And we got that number from a huge app called TouchDraw, and that's on the iPhone, Android, iPad, on the Mac, and it's a vector drawing package. So that's not a trivial app. It's a quite intensive drawing application that's got lots of UI code, and we're still seeing about 75% code reuse. So you've got this base class library, which is the 75%, and with Windows, you've got a couple of extra APIs, so with WinRT. So Microsoft just gave you some new APIs. Well, we've done exactly the same thing for iOS. So you've got that base class library, so it's system.link, system.xml. All the classes and namespaces that you've been using for years and years and years are available to you with Xamarin. But then we've gone and given you some extra namespaces and classes, such as iBeacons, MapKit. As I say, 100% coverage to the API. And we've done this again for Android. So shared, 75%. Plus these new APIs for you to learn. And it's worth noting, anything you can do in Objective-C, Swift, or Java, you can do in C# with Xamarin. So if somebody comes up to you and they've got an Objective-C or a Java app, and they show you it, and they say, well, you can't do this in Xamarin, they're wrong, and I'd like you to correct them. So with Xamarin, it enables you to run your application on 2.6 billion devices. I struggle now to find a device size or platform where C# doesn't run. I mean, we've got Netduinos, it runs on the Raspberry Pi, you can run it on the PS3, the Xbox 360, iPhones, iPads, Androids, watches, silly glasses, I mean, you name it, C# will run on it. So it really is an incredible language to be writing in. And I often get asked about performance. And the performance story with Xamarin is twofold. So there's two aspects to it. For iOS, we obviously can't JIT, so we do a ahead-of-time compilation. For iOS, you're going to need a Mac, and I'll explain this in a moment. So when you hit build in Visual Studio for your iOS project, your C# is converted down to IL, just like it would be for a WinForms application or a WPF application. We then take that IL, and we convert it to bytecode in our own compiler. and we start linking bits out. So we start stripping bits that you don't need. So if you're not using System XML, we're going to remove it, because we want the runtime to shrink down to be as small as possible. So we don't want to ship a 12 meg runtime in your Hello World app, because that would be ludicrous. So we remove all the bits you're not using, and then we send that bytecode over to the Mac, and we run it through the same LMVM compiler that Apple uses to compile their Objective-C or Swift apps. So this means you're getting the same optimizations as a native developer using the native toolkit. So in terms of performance, on iOS, you're exactly the same. There's no performance hit from using Xamarin. On Android, the story's slightly different. On Android, we can JIT. And the Mono runtime, as you probably know, is a lot older than Delvic. And in a lot of cases, when you deploy your Xamarin Android app to an Android device, it's actually going to perform better than the existing Java equivalents. So you get a performance boost. So that's performance. And today, we're going to be talking about a couple of our products. So Xamarin Platform, which is this Xamarin iOS, Xamarin Android, and also Xamarin Mac. Then we've got Test Cloud. Who's heard of Test Cloud? So a few of you. So Test Cloud is our testing solution. And then we've got Xamarin Insights, which I don't expect anyone to have heard of just yet, because we only announced it last month, but I'll explain why you should be using this. Oh, I've got that twice, it would appear. So let's go into a technical demo. Let's go full screen with Windows. So I should note, I'm using Parallels. So I do all my development on a Mac, because you do need that Mac in order to use the LMVM compiler. We're using the standard Apple toolchain. So you cannot develop Xamarin iOS without having a Mac somewhere in your system. Often, hardcore Windows developers will buy a Mac Mini, stick a Windows sticker on top of it, and pop it in their bottom drawer, and never look at it again. As long as it's on the network, you're golden. So let's start Visual Studio. And we'll create a new project. We've got a few options here. We've got iOS. Above that, we've got Android. And then we've also got mobile apps, which my cursor is just slightly hiding. So Android and iOS are pretty obvious what they are. But with mobile apps, this is our Xamarin Forms. So who's heard of Xamarin Forms? Great stuff. So for those of you who haven't, we'll be covering that in a moment. So let's go ahead and create an iOS app. And we'll call this Berlin Stocks. And hopefully the internet is working still. So who's developed an iOS app using the native tool, so Xcode? So you're familiar with the madness of actions and outlets, yeah? Well, I'll explain for the rest of you actions and outlets and why I think they're crazy. So Apple's approach to UI design is that you've got your view, you drag your controls on, and let's say you've dragged a button on, and you want to get to the code behind for that button. In a .NET world, you want to get to the code behind on a button, you just double-click it, and boom, you're in there. Well, in Apple's world, the story's slightly different. You drag your button on, you then click two circles in the title in the top bar. Now, it's not labeled what those two circles mean, so I've still no idea, but I know I need to click those two circles. So I click them, and it's going to bring up a split pane, and I select the header file for the view controller. I'm going to control click on my button. I'm going to drag a blue line over to my header file. I'll drop it. It's going to pop up and it's going to say, do you want an action or an outlet? And you're going to go, what on earth is an action or an outlet? And once you've Googled this and worked it all out, you'll realize that you probably want an action and you're going to want to set the ID to not be an NS object, but you want it to be a UI button because you want to keep this type safe. But this whole process is just, it's madness. So we were watching Xamarin developers having to go through this process, and we were like, there's got to be a better way, and there is. We just had to make our own designer. So we did that. So we built our iOS designer for both Xamarin Studio and Visual Studio. And what I really love about our iOS designer is that what we're looking at here is actually an instance of the iOS simulator that's running on the Mac that's being pushed into Visual Studio. So if we subclass the UI button and override the draw method, and we drag that control onto here, because it's a live simulator, we're able to see exactly how that's going to look on the real device. So that's super powerful. But anyway, let's move on. So I'm actually going to write an application that goes out and checks how well Microsoft Stock is doing. Hopefully it's up. So I'm going to need a few controls. Let's do a text field. And I'm going to want a label. So this works exactly how developers using WPF or WinForms or any .NET UI tool are used to. So we can go in and we can change some properties. I think all the cool kids are using Helvetica, aren't they? So let's go Helvetica Lite. It's got to be light. And we'll resize this. And it's worth noting that anything you design in our Storyboard Designer, you can just go and drag that into Xcode and start using their Storyboard Designer, and vice versa. So if you've already got an Objective-C app and you've got lots of storyboards that you've created, and you want to go the RDO approach of stripping out all of that Objective-C and re-implementing it in C#, you can just bring across that existing storyboard straight into Xamarin. This isn't a proprietary format. It's completely standard. So we'll pop that there. We'll try and put this in the middle. I mean, I'm no UI designer. I'm not going to get any Apple Design Awards for this, but it should give you an idea of how this works. So we'll call this Go, and we'll name it BTN Go. Oh, BTN rather than text box. We'll call this TBX symbol. We'll call this LBL result. Great stuff. I'm just going to select the simulator. So as I said before, with the standard approach, I would now have to bring up a split pane for a header file and start drawing blue lines and start Googling what actions and outlets are. In Xamarin, we just double-click it. And we've gone ahead and we've dealt with all of that nonsense for you. The nonsense is still there, but as I say, we deal with the nonsense for you. So you can come into the designer file for the view controller, and then you can see these actions and outlets. And you can see it's generated an action for me, which is the BTN Go touch up inside. It's making sure it's type safe. You don't ever need to go in and edit this file. It's auto generated for you. But if you want to see how we're making your lives easier, you can kind of pull the curtain back and have a look if you so wish. So as I said, we're going to implement going out and fetching some stock data. I've actually got a shared project already, so we'll bring this in. Here we go. And you'll probably notice that this project doesn't have any references. And this is because it's just a shared project. So when we include this in our project, all the dependencies that this code relies on needs to be in the master project. So I know for a fact that this needs JSON.NET, and it also needs system.net.http, I think. So I need to make sure that they're available in the main project when I import this shared library. But this isn't a particularly fancy code. We've just got our model. You can see this isn't using anything unique to iOS. This is all stuff that's in the base class library. So this is 100% portable. I only had to rename one property because I thought that was a little bit verbose. And we can go into the view model. Let's get rid of this. You can see I'll be using the getQuote method, and it's just asynchronous. So it goes out and it fetches my quote object and returns it to me. So there's nothing fancy happening here. It's all pretty standard. So we can go into references, and we can go click to add shared reference. This is a plugin that you can get from the add-ins in Visual Studio. It's not there by default, so you'll need to go and grab that. You could, of course, create this as a PCL, but we're calling them pickles. So if you take something away from today, it's that PCLs are now called pickles. And NuGet is now called NuGet. Let's go ahead and add that. There we go. And as I say, the view model is relying on system.net.http and json.net, so I'm going to need to make sure that my project up here actually references those. So I can do manage NuGet or NuGet. It's going to catch on. By the end of the day, you'll be going NuGet. So let's search for JSON. There we go, and we'll install this. Boom. Great stuff. And then I need to add the reference to HTTP. So I'll add that. And I always just like to build at this point just to make sure that it is actually going to build. So it takes a little while to build because, as I say, it's going to go from C# to IL, IL to bytecode, bytecode through the LMVM compiler. So it's doing quite a lot. But it will get there eventually. Let's have a look. Internet Explorer wants me to do something. Ask me later. There we go. So that succeeded. That's good. So if we go into our view controller, we can go ahead and actually implement something useful. So let's do stocks.shared view models. Stock view model, I'll call this view model, equals new, bum bum bum. We'll do if string dot is null. Let's do null or white space, I'll say tbx.text. Then I'd like to show a UI alert view. So this is just the standard way on iOS of telling the user that something's gone wrong. We'll say no symbol, and we'll do string.empty. So I don't actually need a message. Null, and then we'll say OK. Great stuff. And then we'll do alert.show. Equals new, dun, 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 and you all sat there in silence. Great stuff. So we'll return then, and then I'll do TBX, resign, first responder. So resign first responder, for those of you who don't know, is just going to tell it that we finished editing, and I want you to get rid of the keyboard. So we don't need the keyboard there once we've hit go, because we're ready to go. I'm going to do var quote equals view model. Dot get quote. Oh, get quote, and then we'll pass in TBX text. My goodness. Here we go. We'll say if quote equals null. Then I'd like to set that to invalid. And I'll also set the color to be red. And then we'll return. So assuming all of that is fine, so we've entered some information that's valid, and the response is good, then let's actually display the results. So we'll do equals quote dot dun dun dun. Who can tell me what's wrong? There we go. I knew it was wrong. I do it on purpose every time, just to see if you're all awake. So this needs to be async. Async, and then await. Ta-da! So we'll do current quote, and we'll say plus, and we'll do quote dot change, and we'll say LBL result dot text color equals quote is up. And if it is, then we'll do uicolor.green. And if it's if it's not, then we'll do uicolor.red. Super. So I'll just build that. I'll just build that again. We go build. And if it builds, then I'll deploy it to the simulator. If it doesn't build, then I'll need to work out what's gone wrong. Success. So let's try and get that to deploy to the simulator. And of course, you can debug your application just like you would any WinForms, WPF, or any .NET application. So you can pop a breakpoint in, and when it hits that breakpoint, it's going to stop, and you're going to be able to interrogate the values. This isn't a kind of deploy and just pray. You actually get the debugging experience that you've been using for years. There we go. So they're not doing... how's Google doing? It seems like a bad day at the moment for everyone. Oh, you're quite right. Well, the rest of it works. But you get the idea. Let's pop something nonsense in there and see. Also invalid. Great stuff. But let's put a breakpoint in and... Oh, actually, let's move on. You all know how to debug. I don't need to show you how to do that. So let's stop this. And we can also then go ahead and create a Android project. So let's do add new project. Android. We'll say stocks Berlin Droid. Super. Who's developed Android using Java? Awesome. So you'll already be familiar with like the resources folder and like the main.axml. So AXML is Android XML, and we know it's Android XML because we go into the source, they remind us on almost every line. So you'll never ever get into a situation where you're going, is this normal XML or is this Android XML? But we've got a UI designer so that you don't have to be an animal and go in and start writing the UI in XML. So you can just like before with the iOS designer, you just come in here, you find the controls you want, you just drag it on. There we go. So I'm not going to build the Android application because the code is almost identical. We just change like UI alert view to the Android specific views. And we're very short on time, because normally I give this presentation over 2.5 to 3.5 hours, and I've got 1 hour, so I'm cramming a lot in. So let's leave here. So, Xamarin Forms. Can I get a show of hands again for those of you who've heard of Xamarin Forms? Super. So for those of you who haven't, Xamarin Forms allows you to share up to 99.9% of your code. So what we did is we created an abstraction across all of the platforms. So we looked at Windows Phone, we looked at Android, and we looked at iOS, and we saw that they all had buttons, they all had sliders, they all had table views or list views, and they all had maps. So there are these common sets of controls that were across every single platform. But they all had unique APIs in order to interact with them. So it's like UI button for iOS, a button for Android, and a button for Windows Phone as well. But on iOS, it's a touch up inside, and on Windows Phone and Android, it's dot click. But the general concept is that they've all got things like a title property, they've all got a background color. And so we found these common properties and methods that are available to you, and we created an abstraction so that you write your code once, and when we deploy to the device, we instantiate the native control for you. So this means if you, in Xamarin Forms, you create a map. On Windows Phone, it's going to be a Bing map. On Android, it's going to be a Google map. And on iOS, it's going to be an Apple map. But you as a developer, you've just said, I want a map. And we deal with making sure that we display the native control for you. So this is my remote, by the way. I'm not tweeting up here. So Xamarin Forms allows you to quickly and easily build 100% native applications using this shared code. And as I say, it's up to 99.9%. I would love to tell you it's 100%, but there's one line, or on Android, two lines, of code in order to initialize Xamarin Forms that is platform-specific. We'll write that line of code for you, so you can still, in your world, you're dealing 100% code reuse, but the actual project is about 99.9%. And as I say, it maps to native controls. So we're not drawing on the screen what we think a button should look like on Android. We're actually giving you the real Android button. And this isn't an all or nothing approach. You can mix and match. So if you've got an existing Xamarin application and you need to add a list view and you don't want to go through the hassle of a UI table view controller and all of the classes that you need to add in to make that bad boy work, then you can just add in Xamarin Forms just for that particular view. And as well, if you've got a Xamarin Forms control, so let's say you've got your button and you discover that, for example, on Windows Phone, you can't add a background image. Well, you can do that on iOS, and you can ask Xamarin Forms to return the native object to you. So you can say, if I'm on iOS, then return this button as native, and it will return to you a UI button. So then you get 100% access to the APIs that the Objective-C and Swift developers have got. So you're not limited in what you can do with Xamarin Forms. It's just an extra tool for you. Someone's tweeting. Very good. So you get 40 pages, controls, and layouts. You can build with C# or XAML. So who's using MVVM? Sweet. So for those of you who didn't raise your hands, I'm guessing you're MVC? OK, so there's a few. So if you don't know what MVVM is, it's just like MVC, but with more Vs and Ms, but less Cs. So you get two-way data binding. We're giving you a navigation and an animation and navigation API. You get a dependency service, which I'll quickly show you in a moment. And you get a messaging center. The messaging center means that two classes can communicate to each other without actually knowing anything about each other. So you can keep your code very decoupled. Let's have a look at some of the pages that are available to you. Oh, am I going to have to do this manually? So I moved my slide deck into the Microsoft theme. So some of the animations appear to be slightly off, but you get the idea. You're going to be doing most of your work in the content page, but of course you've got master details and then you've got tabs as well. And if we take tabs as an example, on iOS your tabs live at the bottom of the screen, on Android they live at the top, and then on Windows Phone you've got that big text that you swipe along the side. I can't remember what it's called. But we deal with that for you, so you're not going to instantiate a tab in Xamarin Forms and for us to force it onto the bottom, because that isn't how an Android user would expect the app to look. So we make sure that everything is positioned where it needs to be correctly. And then we give you the tools. Dun, dun, dun. We give you the tools to do your layouts. So you've got a couple of options. You probably won't want to use Absolute too much, because if you go from a tiny little phone to a huge screen, then it can look pretty ridiculous. But I would suggest using Relative in most cases. But we give you, just out of the box, enough to get started with. And then you've got some controls. And you can see the controls that we've got mapped. And as I say, these are common across all of the platforms. So you have one API, and it's just going to instantiate the native control. Let's go back one. I was eager. As I say, it's a short presentation, so I'm just slapping the go key. So you probably noticed this big gap, and this isn't that it's failed to load an animation. This is where you can create your own controls. So if you go onto NuGet, you'll find a project called xamarinforms.labs, and there's an open source community that are developing more abstractions. And if you've already got existing controls, so you've created a chart view, for example, and you've got it on iOS and Android and Windows Phone already, but you've implemented it three different times, then you can bring this into Xamarin Forms by just creating a very thin wrapper. So your existing controls, they can come into Xamarin Forms as well. So let's take a look at a demo of Xamarin Forms. So I've already got a project. And it's the same application that we wrote for iOS, but now we've written it in one code base, and we're sharing it across Windows Phone, Android, and iOS. So if we go into, we'll minimize all of these. When you create a Xamarin Forms project in Visual Studio, you're going to get four projects. So you get the Portable Class Library, or the Pickle. You get an iOS, Android, and Windows Phone application. And those projects have that one line or two lines of code that's going to start Xamarin Forms for you. You're going to do all of your code in the Pickle. And if we go into app, which is the main starting point, it's a static method of get main page, and we're returning stocks view. We go to stocks view, and this is XAML. Should be familiar to you all. If we look at the code behind, very little, because we're using MVVM. So all of the magic actually happens in the view model. And this is almost identical to the view model that you saw earlier on in the previous demo. But if we go to the top, you'll see that we've got some bindable properties, which is how we do that data binding. And what I've also done, which is pretty fun, is I've implemented a text-to-speech function. So this is going to show you how you can get down to the platform APIs and still use Xamarin Forms. So obviously, there is no cross-platform API for iOS, Windows Phone, and Android that allows you to do text-to-speech. So we implement this for every platform we want to target. But in our Pickle, we go to interfaces, and you'll see I've made an interface. And it's defining the speak method. And so we would implement this in our iOS project. So we can go down here, and we can see I've implemented it, so I've inherited. And then I've implemented the speak method. And I use the AV speech synthesizer, which is the standard Apple approach to doing speech. And if we go to Android, you can see the same again. Here we go. So you're not, as I say, you're not limited with Xamarin Forms to just this high-level abstraction. If you want to get deep down into the platform APIs, you can still do this. Let's get this running on my Android simulator. And whilst it's building and deploying, I have it on my iPhone. And the reason I'm going to show it to you on my iPhone rather than the simulator is that that AV speech synthesizer isn't implemented on the simulator. So you can't hear it, but it works on the iPhone. So I'm going to hold it close to me, and hopefully if there's decent network. It's loading, I promise. Still loading. The internet's very good here. You may have noticed. Dun, dun, dun. Well, whilst that's doing that, we can I'll turn this one up as well. This might be a bit faster on the Mac. Well, we'll give this a moment, and if not, then come to our booth, and I will do this when I'm on some 4G upstairs in Civilization. Well, we'll do that on the booth. So come and nag me, and I'll show you. But you can see the app. We can get this started on Windows Phone as well. So let's do that. So let's stop debugging. Let's set this as our startup. Boom. Let's start the emulator. This is still thinking about it, bless it. But the important thing with Xamarin Forms is that the user interface we've only defined once. So we've done that in the Pickle. And then when it's deployed to the devices, we're getting a native button, we're getting that native text box. Everything is 100% native. So here we go. We'll wait for this to load. And you saw with the Xamarin Android player, who's used the Google emulators? OK. So the Google emulators, for those of you who don't know, are incredibly slow. You would start the Google emulator in the morning, and you would then go and get married, you'd have kids, they would graduate university, and once the children have bled you of all of your money, you would get back to your computer and you'd discover that it might have started. So it really is a slow emulator. And we were watching developers going gray and losing their hair whilst waiting for this thing to start. So we decided we've got to make our own. So we did. So we created the Android emulator that you saw earlier. It's in preview at the moment, so if you go on to xamarin.com/Android player, it's super fast. The Android player in reality starts in about 2.5 minutes and ours starts in 17 seconds. So it's a huge speed increase. And it's also, you can run 3D games in it as well. Our CTO, Miguel, when demoing at our conference, was running a little motorbike game. And he's no gamer. He crashed into every single wall. But if he could play a computer game, then it would have shown that it's a very good product. We probably should have put someone a bit younger on stage for that demo. So we're waiting for Windows Phone. Again, the emulator's a little slow. But you won't be going grey with this one, at least. Here we go. So you can see it's almost identical, but it's native. So this is how Windows users would expect. And when we do the loading, we're going to do the little whoop of the buttons. And hopefully the internet is still working, so hopefully it can go out and fetch that data. But I've been told I've got 10 minutes. So I need to be quick about this because there's quite a lot more to cover. So you get the idea. We don't need to wait for the labels to update to see if they're doing better. Super. Let's move on. So back to the presentation. Oh, Xamarin Test Cloud. This is fine. So who here finds this a familiar story? Oh. Did you hear that? It was talking. thank you. As I say, come and find me in the booth upstairs and I'll show it to you properly when we've got some decent internet. So who here finds this a familiar story? You've built your app, you've tested it, or you're going to test it, so you run around the office and you steal everybody's phone, all your colleagues. You deprive them of their phone for 30 minutes. Is that something you do? Yeah? And you maybe test on like 5 or 6 devices? If you're lucky? Yeah? Okay, well, this is a problem because if you want to test and get up to 75% of market coverage just for US devices, you need to test on 134 devices. And so who here is testing on 134 devices? Anyone testing on more than that? No. So that's what I thought. So this is a huge problem. And Xamarin Test Cloud allows you to test any app built with jQuery Mobile, if it's Objective-C, if it's Java. It's not unique to Xamarin. But what we've got is we've got a warehouse in Denmark full of devices. So it's over 1,000 physical devices. They're not jailbroken. They're as they come from Apple or whatever Android manufacturer you want to buy our devices from. And you develop test scripts. And you upload the test scripts with your app to Test Cloud, and you can run your application on over 1,000 physical devices, and you get reports about how your app's performing. So you get memory usage, you can see how slow your app's performing over time as well. So you can say in the last version, the login was 20 milliseconds faster. I've obviously done something wrong in my login method. You get stack traces, you get logs as well, and you get screenshots of every step of the test. So in order to create a Xamarin Test Cloud test, you have a local UI authoring tool, and I can very briefly show you this. Who's used a REPL? So that's, for those of you who don't know, it's a read, evaluate, print loop, so it's just in command line. You type in commands, it's going to read, it's going to evaluate, it's going to print, it's going to loop. And so we have a REPL for you that allows you to build your automation tests. So you can go in there and you can do things like app.tap, and then you define an element that you want to tap in the application, and it's going to go in there and tap that for you. And then you build up these test cases, and at the end of it, you type in copy, and it's going to copy the test case that you've just written. You paste that into Visual Studio, and then you can run this test on the simulator locally, or then push up to Test Cloud on over 1,000 devices. So when you've pushed it to Test Cloud, as a standard approach is that you should be integrating this with your CI. So you commit your latest build or your code changes. It goes to the build server. It builds your app. It then does your standard unit test, well, before it's built the app. Builds the app, and then it pushes it up to Test Cloud. You get your test coverage on over 1,000 devices, and it's going to report back to you straight away if there's any issues. So it can integrate with your Git issues or TFS so that your developers know straight away that there's a problem, and they can get started on fixing them. So let's actually technical demo. Let's pull up a project. Oh, we need to stop debugging this. Boom, boom, boom. I have no idea if I clicked on the right one there, but we'll see. No, I didn't. Or did I? So we're actually going to ship... I did. We're going to ship a plugin for Visual Studio, which will allow you, once you've built your test script, to deploy straight to Test Cloud. So you'll be able to right-click on your solution and say Test in Test Cloud, and it will then bring up a browser, and it will say what devices do you want to test this on. So that's super powerful. Then we can do things like app.repl. So I want to start testing this. Let's build this again. If not, I can switch to Xamarin Studio and show you this, because it works flawlessly in Xamarin Studio. I want to run this test. What about if I just build the entire solution? Go! But you get the idea. The app.waitForElement, and you hit X, and then you would hit Tab in the REPL. And you say, I'm looking for the element that has the text of kickoff screen. Here we go. That was the bad boy I was looking for. And let's make this a bit smaller. So this is now going to launch the application in my simulator. And then once it's launched the application, we're going to wait for the element that has the text of kickoff session. And when that's done, we're going to take a screenshot, and then we're going to load up the REPL. So we'll wait a moment. The internet really is working against us today. So yeah, it's taken too long. So that would be a crash in Test Cloud, because the application should have responded faster, but this is because the internet's pretty poor today. There we go. So this would instantly fail in Test Cloud. If we had fast internet, again, come upstairs and I'll show you the REPL. It's super fun. But we've actually got these tests already in Test Cloud. So let's launch Safari and go to testcloud.xamarin.com. Again, we'll wait for the internet. And we can see that I've run this test numerous times, and we can see the peak memory usage, so we can see how the app's churning through memory as it goes on. And we can see we tested this on 40 devices, and we can see that we had some failures. And if we go into favorite session, which was the test I was going to write for you in the REPL, we can see all the devices that we've run this test on. And we get, as I say, we get screenshots of how the app looks. So I can just use my arrow keys, and I can fly down the list. And I can already see the little lightning bolt that says 3. So there were 3 errors on the then I enter my email address. So let's go there. And let's see why we had those errors. Ah, so we can see we had an error here. Well, I can tell instantly that when I enter my email address, I was looking for the submit button. And so the automator couldn't find the submit button because the keyboard shouldn't be there. So I can go into the test failure, and I can, yeah, that's actually what happened. So the submit button couldn't be found. So that's a failure. And I can find information out about this device. I can go back, pop in here, and I can go details. So I can find out all the information I need about this particular device. And then I can continue through the test. And obviously, because those failed in the previous step, they no longer continue. And it's super good. What I really like about this is that if we can see UI inconsistencies. So we see that we've got this huge lump of text, the paragraph. So that looks fine. But there's a few in here, he says, here we go, where the text isn't wrapping. So we could write a UI test to decide that this is a failure, because actually it should be wrapping, so we should have a big block of text rather than just a line infinitely scrolling off the screen. So that's Test Cloud. We also have a web service called Xamarin Insights. And as I say, I'm speeding through this because we're very short on time. But Xamarin Insights is our automatic crash and analytics reporting. So you go onto NuGet and you add a Xamarin Insights pickle. And once you've added the pickle, you would add one line of initialization, and any uncaught exceptions or exceptions that you want to report back are pushed up into the cloud. So you can see them in here. We can see that's a fairly bad crash. And it's occurred quite a lot. And what's really fun about this is we can go into, we got the full stack trace. We can often see what's led to this crash. So we can see session started, okay, interesting. And we can see information about the device that it was running on. So if we go to users, we can also track, let's do Mike at Xamarin. Oh, I think it was Michael.James. I have a few emails at Xamarin. Here we go. We can see how often I've been using the app. So I've used it 33 times in the last 30 days. We can see what I'm doing on there, and we can see the errors that I've had, so any of the crashes that I've had to deal with myself. And then we can see what I've been up to in the app. And this is all optional. Apart from the automatic crash reporting, you're able to track any event that you want within reason. I always suggest that you should have a decent moral compass. If you don't need to track an event, then don't. But we can see here that I'm obviously a little vain because I went and looked at my own profile in the app. But we can see everything that I've been doing within the app whilst using it. And this is really powerful because if you've got an internal application, you can track how often your employees are actually using it, how much time they spend in the application, and any errors that they have. And because those are pushed in real time back to your developers can pick up the phone and say, hey, Sue, I noticed this morning that the app crashed for you. We fixed the bug. We've just pushed it out into Test Cloud. It's testing at the moment. And as soon as it passes, we'll get it onto Test Flight, and it'll be available to download. So give us 5-10 minutes, and we've got the fix for you. Whereas before, you'd have to wait for your employer or even your customer in the app store to get in touch with you manually and let you know, which oftentimes they just won't do. Especially on the app store, they'll just give you one star. So that's Xamarin Insights. That's free. Very generous free offering, and we're going to keep that for a long time. So you can go on to insights.xamarin, and you can add that to your existing Xamarin project. And we also have, which we announced earlier last month, was Profiler. So who here has used a profiler? Super. So for those of you who haven't, you know what a profiler is? Super. So everyone knows what a profiler is. Well, we made one for Xamarin iOS and Xamarin Android. So you can now profile your Xamarin applications. And I use this for an app that I built using Xamarin iOS called Dutch Spelling. And I learned that, so I would show the user some new words, they would learn them, and then I would test them. And the test screen, I was showing them every 5 seconds, and I was instantiating a new one every time. So my memory footprint would bloat and bloat and bloat, and then the garbage collector would come through and clean it up, and it would cause the app to pause for a long time after the GC did that. And for the longest time, I couldn't really work out what was causing it. And when I downloaded the profiler and got my app running, I instantly saw where it was taking time and what was eating up the memory. So again, this is free to download. It's in preview at the moment. So go on to xamarin.com/profiler. And you can go ahead and download that. I'll skip through these. We've already seen Xamarin Insights. And it's worth noting with Xamarin Insights, that integrates into TFS, into Git, into Jira. So any of those issues are automatically reported straight back into GitHub or any service that you're using. And we will be implementing a RESTful API as well, so that you can pull data out of there if you need to. And as I mentioned before, our Xamarin Android player, x86 virtual machine, it's hardware accelerated, and it's for Windows and Mac. Free to download, xamarin.com/Android player. If you want to learn more about Xamarin, we have Xamarin University, which is web classes. So you sign in anytime you want. And you have a tutor that will teach you your classes, and you can stop him, ask him questions, and at the end of it, you get certified as a Xamarin developer if you pass the test. And if you're a certified Xamarin developer, it's a license to print money. So I highly recommend that you check out Xamarin University. If you're not using Xamarin at the moment, go on to xamarin.com and download our free trial. It's up to 90 days. For Visual Studio, nothing's restricted. If you have questions, I'll be upstairs, but you can also contact me at mike@xamarin.com, and I'm on Twitter, so feel free to tweet me as well. I tend to respond to tweets much faster than emails, because I get a million emails a day. And thank you very much.